Last week, I got up early in the morning, or maybe not so early, and as you know, kind of just changed some things around last week and just talked and shared just off the cuff what was on my mind about this whole thought of God's goodness passing by. Moses, where God says, I'll make all my goodness pass. And I asked the question last week is, what would it look like if God's goodness passed us by, passed our lives, passed our individual lives, our marriages, our children? What would that look like? And so a lot of times when I'm off the cuff one Sunday, I go back and do a little more study and come back to you with just some more of that. So I want to bring some more to it. But I want you to think about something that I'm just going to throw out to you today. When God passes by, he extends his mercy. And you have an opportunity to receive that mercy or not. But when you receive that mercy, you become not just a recipient of it, but you experience it, and then you get to come to this place to extend mercy. And I want to talk about just receiving mercy, God, and then extending the mercy of God. And so I want to look at this passage again real briefly. I want to break down a couple of the words, and then I want to just give you some stories, a couple of stories from the New Testament. Okay? And so when I look at this passage, remember Moses has gone back up the mountain for the second time. And Moses says to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I've known you by name, and you've also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, and that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence is going to go with you, and I'm going to give you rest." And he said, "If your presence doesn't go with us, do not lead us up from here, for then how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all other people who are upon the face of the earth?" Verse 17, "And the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to do this thing which you've spoken, because you have found favor in my sight, and I've known you by name." Remember last week we talked about this. We talked about if you're in Christ, you have found favor with God, and he knows your name. Amen? Same thing he says to Moses, says to you and me today. "I found favor in my sight, and I've known you by name." Okay? Great promise, right? It's great. Hey, that's a great good feel passage. I hope you know that. That God knows us, that God favors us, that this great God of ours knows our name. And then Moses said to him, to God, "I pray you, show me your glory. I want to see you, God. I want to experience you." And then he says, verse 19, where we camped out last week, camp out again. And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show compassion on whom I'll show compassion." Well, then, verse 4, go to chapter 34, maybe on your same page, maybe you got to turn it to verse 4, and it says, "So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning, went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious.'" Now, we looked at these last week. We'll just kind of, I want to just camp out at this compassion, gracious. But I want you to notice what he says. "I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in loving kindness and truth." And then he says, is there another one there? Or are we reading? "Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he'll by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations." And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. Now, I want to talk about these two words. He says in chapter 33, "I'll be gracious to whom I'm gracious, and I'll be compassionate to whom I'll be compassionate." Okay? And then when he passes by, he kind of mixes it up. Okay? He passed by in front of him, and he says, "The Lord God, compassionate and gracious. Now, I want to just spend the next 10 minutes with you just giving you the meaning of these two words, because these two words are really connected. And God uses these words all through the Old Testament, using compassionate and gracious, okay? I'm compassionate and gracious. I show grace and I show mercy. I show compassion. And so when I want to say when God's, all of God's goodness, which is God's wealth, beauty, welfare, joy, all his happiness, all his gladness, all his cheerfulness, all his glory, all his nature, when it passes by, God extends the very person of God, extending his mercy and his grace and his loving kindness and his faithfulness, all that he is, he has offered to you and to me. One amen. Listen, you get all of him. Okay. I hope you get the point here, that when you get Jesus, you get all his goodness. You don't just get a portion. You don't just get a piece. You get all of it. Now, it may take time in your walk to experience it and to believe it and to grow into it, but you got all of it. Amen? You got all of it. And so what he says here, he says, listen, I am compassionate and gracious. Before that, he says, I'll be compassionate, or I'll show compassion to whom I show compassion. So let's just, this first point, God extends mercy, and you have the opportunity to receive God's mercy. And so these two words, gracious and showing compassion. The first one is, I'll be gracious to whom I'm gracious. And that means that to extend favor, to bend or stoop down in kindness, to be favorably inclined towards, to give mercy, to give grace, to show favor. In one form, it means to I'll make you acceptable to God. Powerful, powerful word. And I want to just tell you, it's found 78 times in the Old Testament, but it's translated differently. It's translated 16 times as mercy, 13 times as gracious, 12 times as merciful, and then favor 7 times. So the Hebrew word is one word, but the translators translate it graciousness, mercy, favor. In different forms and in different contexts, the word is often connected to these several things. It's connected to being relieved in your distress and God hearing you. Psalm 4:1. He says, be gracious to me. You have relieved me in my distress, and you hear my prayer. May you hear my prayer. He's saying, listen, this word is connected to God doing something significant in your life. If you're distressed, if you're praying, he says, this grace that's on you, God will respond in such a way that he'll relieve you in your distress and he'll hear you. It also is connected to being lifted up from the gates of death, Psalm 9:13. It's related to being redeemed in Psalm 26:11. It's connected to God being your helper in Psalm 30:10. It's God healing your soul in Psalm 41:10. It's God forgiving you and blotting out your sin in Psalm chapter 51. And what I want you to do is keep your place here. I want you to go to Psalm 51. And I want to show you how this works, this great grace of God, this mercy of God. Psalm chapter 51. Now, this passage is a passage where David has literally fallen on his face. King of Israel has lusted for another man's wife, has brought her into the chamber, has taken this wife of his friend, Uriah. Uriah the Hittite is one of David's valiant men. So is Bathsheba's daddy. Okay. So you got Bathsheba, you've got her dad, and then you got Uriah the Hittite, who is somehow a convert to Israel, because he's a Hittite. And so he marries Bathsheba, and he's a valiant warrior of David, and he's in the top echelon of his military. And when he sees her bathing on the roof, he inquires, who is she? Well, that's Bathsheba. That's Uriah's wife. And it's amazing to me that there seems to be no pause. There seems to be no contemplation. There seems to be not even considering the consequences of what's going on and mulling over his mind. But what lust does is you begin to fantasize, and before you know it, a king in his, I don't know, his rule, his power, his authority summons her up into the chamber, and they have relations together. And he commits adultery with his friend's valiant, faithful warrior wife. And she gets pregnant. And so what people do when they're self-directed, not God-directed, where he needs to repent and confess, he tries to hide it. And I want to tell you, you'll never hide your sin. You'll never hide it. And when I see this passage of Scripture, he ends up killing the friend, right? He kills the friend, or has him killed, and the prophet comes to him. It's a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture, where he looks at David and says, you're the man. You are the man. And immediately he repents. Immediately he confesses. I'm telling you, folks, there's this heart change that takes place in his life, and God says, you are forgiven. And this is what he writes. This is this response. He says in chapter 51, be gracious to me, O God. There's our word. Be gracious to me, O God. May your grace and mercy pour out on me today. May your grace and mercy come upon me. May your grace and mercy have its work, the perfect work of Jesus. And what is the perfect work of God or Jesus? It's according to your loving kindness. So gracious to me, according to your loving kindness, according to that word is according to your mercy, your grace and your favor, according to the greatness of your, here it is, compassion. Blot out my transgressions. It's what this word's connected with. It's connected with the blotting out of all the junk you have ever walked in. Amen. Amen. I want to hear that again. Amen. Amen. When we talk about this grace, this graciousness, when God comes along and says, I am going to show grace to you. I'm going to show compassion to you. I'm going to show mercy to you. I'm going to show this graciousness to you. This is what this word is. And David knows it, and he's appealing to the compassion of God. He is, or to the graciousness of God. He is saying to God, Lord, according to the greatness of your compassion or your graciousness, Lord, your be gracious to me, compassion, blot out my transgression. Now watch what he says. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me against you. You only I've sinned. And I've done what is evil in your sight. So you're justified to speak, blameless when you judge. I was brought forth in iniquity, and in much sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. In the hidden part you'll make known me wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Listen, make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you've broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Do you see the faith declaration here, folks? For mercy. And God's extending mercy. When the prophet comes, and he comes with the word of rebuke, it's God's goodness passing by, folks. It's God exposing where we've been. It's God exposing our sin, exposing our heart. And I'm going to tell you, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. He hears the goodness of God, and he knows what to ask for. He knows to ask for God's mercy, God's grace. He's appealing to what God said to Moses. This is who I am. I am compassionate and I am gracious. How many of you have cried out for God's mercy? You've needed in the midst of your sin, in the midst of your pit, in the midst of life, you have needed this grace. And what he's saying here, by the very meaning of the word, which means to stoop down and to get down on sometimes all of God's, all four, I mean, maybe sometimes laying flat on his face, God's face, where he reaches down into the pit to pull you out of that pit and put you on the rock. To stoop in kindness, he says, to kneel in kindness, to lay down in kindness, to pick you up, to get where you are in the pit and to pick you out of it. Amen. That's what he did when you came to him. That's what he did for you when you came to him and forgave you and blotted out all your sins that you've committed. Amen and amen. This word's connected with that. When I think about this, notice what else says. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do you know when David was first called? He was sent into the presence of Saul. Let me tell you a little bit about Saul. Saul was a faithful guy. Never committed adultery, as far as we know. I think we would know that, right? Didn't take someone's life and murder to cover it up. But Saul was disobedient to God. And when God called him on it, he said, "It's not me. You're wrong, prophet." And I've always thought about old Saul. I feel kind of sorry for him. All he did was just get one thing wrong, and God's rejected him. You know why? What he got wrong? He got wrong. Where he was wrong in was he didn't humble himself and say, "It's me." The moment that David said, "It's me," he didn't argue with God. He didn't say, "No, that's not true." Immediately he said, "It's me." And you know what happened? Grace came. And God stooped down and pulled him out of the pit. Were there consequences? Yes, there's still consequences. But I want to tell you the benefits of God's grace far outweigh the consequences. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. This grace comes and blots out your sins and forgives you. It comes and washes you. It creates a new heart in you so that you can be a man and a woman that will extend the same grace that God has extended you. Because he did. He extended this grace to you and offered it. Listen, this grace is not just some milquetoast word. This is the power of God that stoops down and makes you right with God and changes you and transforms you. I believe we get our word grace in the New Testament from this. The grace of God that instructs you to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live righteously and godly and sensibly in this present age. It's the power of God is what this is. It's God forgiving you and blotting your sin. It's God taking you out of the pit, putting you on the rock, making your footsteps firm and putting a new song in your mouth. And you know what else David will say? David will say, "Listen, if you'll do this, then I'll get to teach transgressors your ways." Total restoration, folks. Restoration of the Spirit, restoration of the presence of God, and restoration of the gifts of God. He can walk in the gifts of God. He's not disqualified. It's not disqualified. Because of this powerful word, I'll be gracious to you. I just want to keep on going with this word. Because we all need it. And we all need to believe it. When the enemy comes and whispers your past, 5 months ago, 5 years ago, 5 decades ago, to know, say, to be able to say, no, God's grace is sufficient, and I'm no longer guilty. I'm no longer defined by this failure, no longer defined by this season, no longer defined by that life over there, because I've got a new life in Christ, a life founded on the rock with a new song in my heart to sing to God, where sinners will see and be converted unto you. Better than a touchdown. Better. And there ought to be 6,000 people cheering the grace of our great God. I'll be gracious to whom I'm gracious. And then he says, I'll show compassion to whom I show compassion. Let me tell you a little bit about this word, okay? This word is also found in a lot of places in Scripture, 78 times. But it's also translated mercy 16 times, gracious 13, merciful 12, and then the favor, I just repeated myself. I got to go down. To show compassion is to love. It's to behold with tender affection. Let me just tell you, this word, compassion, is where it all starts. It starts in the heart. Where graciousness is the power of God that you do something, compassion is the beginning in your heart that begins to stir you, that begins to move you. And God says when he's compassionate, it moves him, and it moves him to grace. And it means to, as you behold that, you cherish that person, or you cherish that one, just like God cherished you. And it's there's a word that says to have pity. That's part of it, to have pity on someone. And so it's translated mercy 32 times, compassion 8 times, pity 3 times, love and merciful 1. And it's connected to two things. The main thing it's connected to is God's heart and how he yearns for you. And you find it in Jeremiah 31:12. Listen to me. God yearns for you. As he extends this mercy and this grace to you. Listen, these two words, they can be translated mercy and grace. I mean, they're kind of interchangeable. But it's the only place, it's this only place that talks about God's yearning, God's desiring, when it's connected to this word. Okay. But David uses it in Psalm 103. Turn there, if you would, Psalm 103. I don't think we're going to get to the New Testament passages, but go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, one of the most powerful psalms about your life in Christ, of what God's done because of this word right here, this compassion of God. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget none of his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who press. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. Do you understand that verse there? Listen, when God delivered them with this great deliverance and saw all the acts of God, when Moses said, God, show me your glory, and God said, okay, God showed him his ways. That's his ways. This is God's way. And if God's living in you, it's supposed to be your way. It's supposed to be your way. This is the way of the cross. It's the way of the believer. It's the way of the church. It's the way of the Christian man and woman, the Christian marriage. It's the way of God, the ways that we're supposed to be walking out of. Notice what he says, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. It's interesting because when he says, I'll be gracious to whom I'm gracious, I'll show compassion to whom I show compassion, he kind of flips the words. And the first thing he says about himself is this word, I'm compassionate. Listen, this is what moves God, and this is what moves God's people. It's a tender
Just so you know, I hate holding a microphone. Okay.
Is it on now? It is? Okay, good. All right. Got to do something. Okay. So he flips the words. So he says, I'm compassionate. I'm moved. I'm stirred. But it doesn't stop there. Because God's mercy or God's compassion will always result in a powerful, listen to me, work. A work of God in you. That's why they're never separated. You don't just feel sorry for somebody. No, you have mercy. And that mercy will, that God moves you with, will move you to bless that person with the blessing of God that's in your life. And that's what this is. God feels for you. He has tender affection for you. He loves you. And because of that movement, he moves to stoop down and make you right with God. That's his compassion. That's his compassion and that's his grace. And that's what this second word is. It does. He's moved and he's moved to help you, to deliver you, to pardon you, to heal you, to give you these great benefits that he says, my iniquities are pardoned, my diseases are healed, my life's been redeemed from the pit, I'm crowned with loving kindness, and what else? Compassion. Let me ask you a question, folks. Are you crowned with God's grace and compassion? That's the crown of life, folks. It's the crown of life. This crown that God places upon us is the very character of God. Compassionate. He extends the mercy of God to change you forever and ever. Amen. Notice what he says in this passage. Verse 11, or verse 10, he's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Let me just say it just another way. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, and he's not rewarded us according to our attitudes. Because your attitude could be sin, iniquity. Your attitude toward God, your attitude toward your brother, to your wife, to your husband, your attitude to your children, the attitude to your parents can be iniquity. And he hasn't rewarded you according to that. He hasn't dealt with you according to that. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, there's our word, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, worship him, revere him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are just dust. How many can believe that today? That God has not rewarded you or treated you according to all the stuff you've walked in. Amen. Amen. He extends mercy. He extends this grace. I'm compassionate. I have this feel for you. I have this hurt for you. And it moves me to do something significant. And that's to forgive you and to restore you and to make you right. I'm finishing up on this point. But it's the main point. As God has forgiven you, so forgive. As he has extended mercy, we become a people who extend the mercy of God to everyone around us. We have the power. You have the power to forgive. Did you know that? You have the power to release people from their sins towards you. You have the power to pray for the forgiveness of God for other people. You can look it up in 1 John. It's there. that God co-labors with us in this great work of compassion, this great work of graciousness. And you have the power to always extend God's amazing mercy and grace to the world, to your family, to your spouse, to your daughter, to your son, to your grandchildren, to every single person in your life, whether he's your closest person, she's your closest person, or your farthest, whether it's your enemy. You have the power to extend the grace of God. There's a great story in Luke chapter 10. And I'm not going to turn there, I don't have time, but I want to show you the picture. I'll just show you a picture. I don't know if you can see that. It's the Good Samaritan. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. There's a discussion going on about God loving, about man loving God and loving their neighbor. And this guy says, "Who's my neighbor?" So God tells him the story about this Jewish fella who's down this road to Jericho. And thieves get him and strip him down and take everything that he has and leaves him dying in a ditch. And the Bible says some religious guy comes by, a priest, and passes on the other side. Because why? He's in a hurry doing God's work. Or a scribe, a person who knows the word, knows the law, knows that the greatest thing is to love God with all your heart, neighbor as yourself. Just knows it, understands it, passes by. And then the Bible says a Samaritan comes. Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile. Samaritans, the people that came, that when Israel went to captivity, people decided they were going to stay and they intermarried and they started taking on religious practices that weren't of God and they became enemies. Matter of fact, a Jew would never go through Samaria if he thought he had to spend the night there. They're enemies. And this Samaritan stops what he's doing, and he gets off his donkey, and he ministers to this enemy. Pours wine, takes care of him, puts him on his beast, takes him to an inn and says, "Hey, take care of this guy. And whatever you spend on him, I'll take care of the bill. And I'll be back to settle up." And Jesus says this. He doesn't answer the question, "Who's my neighbor?" He asks the question, "Who proved to be the neighbor?" And you know what this guy says? This guy says, "The one who showed mercy, compassion, who extended mercy, who extended mercy." Now, I'll say this, real important. Close with this. There's a lot of you in here that would much rather show compassion to a stranger than somebody you know. There's some of us like that. Oh, we'll give grace to this guy. We'll give grace to that man. We'll give grace to that person. But I'm not going to give grace to you, husband, wife, son, daughter. I mean, be nice as pie to everybody else, but the people that we're the closest of our neighbors. And it ought not be. It ought not be. You say, "Well, you don't understand what I'm going through." Listen, I do understand to some extent, in some way, some form. I don't understand totally, but I know what God says. I know what God says about extending mercy. I know what God has done for me to extend mercy. And I know what it's like to feel mercy and to do something about it. This Samaritan, I'm going to tell you, he gets it. He gets it. He gets it. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Think about this extending mercy today. Extending mercy. I want to just give you just a couple of things I'm going to pray. I'm going to bless you. We'll look forward to tonight. Who proved to be the neighbor? It's the one who showed mercy. And just like God passed by, all of God's goodness passed by, this good Samaritan's goodness passed by and was compassionate like his God and was gracious like his God. And he was forgiving like his God. He was forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And I want to just say this, folks. If you've got Jesus in your life, you've got the Holy Spirit of the living God living in you to empower you to do all of this. And listen, if this is pre-Holy Spirit on the screen, just think what post-Holy Spirit means. It's the power of God in your life to not just receive mercy, expect mercy, be grateful for mercy, but to extend mercy. Listen, when you extend mercy, you see the other's need. You see his big need because you remember your great need. And you accept, you don't reject, you bless, you don't curse. You see the best, not the worst. You forgive and release. You don't hold animosity. You humble yourself by removing pride, and you move to the one who needs what you once needed, but God fulfilled. And you don't resist God's ways. It means you're not critical, judgmental, prideful, selfish. You see with the eyes of Jesus, so you can be Jesus to every single person you meet. When Jesus passed by, his mercy flows. And this week, you're going to pass by a bunch of people who need the same mercy. And you got it, church. You've got it. If God's extended to you, it's in you. The Spirit of God's in you, and you've got what it takes and the power of God to extend mercy and forgive. I want to ask a question. Who do you need to extend mercy to today? We are a people empowered by the Spirit of God to extend mercy to every single person that's ever hurt our feelings, hurt our kids, hurt us, to extend the kindness of God. This is what happens when goodness passes by. Listen, this is what happens when a church passes by. This is what happens when a believer passes by. This is what happens when a good Samaritan passes by. He extends the mercy that was afforded him in this life. This is what happens when God's goodness passes by. We become a people of mercy and a people of compassion and a people of grace who does something with the mercy. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we commit this hour to you. We commit this word to you. May we be a people, may we be a church that's always extending grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. All right, let's stand together, okay? Let's do that right now. I'm so glad you're visiting with us. If you're visiting with us today,